This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Guys, I'm in such an annoyed, angry state this morning. I guess we'll say good morning first, then we'll get into it. It was a disaster for the Giants last night. So morning, Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I'm in a bit of a mood, as you are, Dave. I'm frustrated off that performance that the Giants had last night. I know a lot of fans want to blame Evan Engram today for that loss, but, Dave, I've gotten to the bottom of it. I know who's responsible for the Giants losing yesterday.
I can't wait to hear this. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm doing better than you're doing. I can promise you that.
I'm so annoyed. I'm so angry, and I'll tell you why. And this is sincere. If the Giants would have gone out and just lost 24-13, been mediocre like they are, lost the game, Philly's better, whatever, I'd have been fine. I would have started, you know what, Philly's just a better team. The Giants stink. We know that. The game should have been done. The Giants had 50 ways to win that game. They're up by 11 points with 6 minutes to go. That is a horrendous loss last night.
You couldn't have drawn it up for you any worse. That was a rip your heart out of your chest loss last night.
Awful.
Indiana
Awful.
Jones, Temple of Doom?
It's exactly what it was.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then show it to you. Show it to you as you stand there before you pass.
And just mock you with it. Just staring at you, mocking you with it.
Awful.
And if you wanted to define the New York Giants season through 7 weeks in one play, it's that Evan Engram play.
Oh my God.
Oh. Guys, I know we joke about it a lot of times, but Evan Engram is absolutely brutal, man. I know we keep waiting for this potential, this all-world tight end that ran a 4.4 at the scouting combine 4 years ago. The dude is just not it, man. I mean, not only that 3rd and 7, but the interception, that was on him.
Awful.
I mean, people want to try to blame Daniel Jones for throwing it too hard, but I mean, the concept was for the ball to get on Evan Engram quickly to try to convert in that situation. Like, he was looking back at the quarterback. It's not like he didn't know Daniel Jones was throwing the ball quickly. Ball bounces off of his hands and creates another turnover. Like, I mean, at some point, man, you just got to come to the realization that the guy is not helping you. In fact, he's actually hurting you.
No. And the trade deadline is November 3rd, and I think you have to move on from him. You have to. He's just not good. It's just not working here. You're not going to keep him long term. And maybe there's a team out there that'll give you something for him. But to keep him, he's such a potentially talented player who underwhelms you all the time.
But you know what, Dave? You know what? Parcells used to say this all the time. Potential just means you hadn't done it yet.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the reality with Evan Engram since he's been a New York Giant. We've been waiting on it, and we haven't seen it. We just haven't seen it, or at least not consistently enough. So at this point, the Giants should just cut their losses, man. Whether you move on from him at the trade deadline or it happens after the season, Evan Engram is not a part of the long-term future of the New York Giants.
No, how does he not catch that pass? And there are other plays during the course of that game that affected it clearly, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's the biggest one to me. Like, everybody wants to talk about Ryan Lewis letting John Hightower get behind him, but that play doesn't happen if Evan Engram catches that ball. Because you're talking about having the ball inside of the 30, inside 2 minutes, up 5 points,
with
a chance to tack on. The game would have been over.
The game's over. I think Philly had one timeout.
They had two timeouts, but still, the game would have been over.
It doesn't matter. It's over.
Yeah, the game would have been over.
You're going to first down. You're going to go down to the 2 minute warning. They're going to take that timeout. It's over. You catch that pass last night. That game is over. But you know what? And I tweeted this last night. This is what the Giants are, guys. This is what they are. They're not a good team. They're not a good organization. They find ways to lose. So it stinks. It's frustrating. You're angry. All these things are true. Rick, they are not a good football team right now. And that's what happens to bad football teams.
They're not a good football team right now, but they're definitely a football team that's getting better. And I think, I mean, you want to point to that one play with Evan Engram. And Chris, I wanted to ask you that, watching that play, that first interception that Daniel Jones threw, it felt like that Evan Engram, I didn't love the play call just because of, I mean, you weren't going to get the first down anyway, but that felt like he alligator armed it a little bit. Like it felt like that ball was going to the middle. Nathan Gary sitting there like kind of bearing down on him. He kind of like alligator armed it a little bit.
Yeah. He got a little nervous going over the middle. He heard footsteps. Yeah, I could absolutely see that happening. But the reality is the ball hit him square in the hands. He's got to catch it. If you get both hands, as a receiver in the NFL, if you get both hands on it, most times that's a pass that you got to catch. And I'm tired of talking about that with Evan Engram, man. I'm tired of it, man. He's got to find a way to be able to help his young quarterback out. He's got to. Like, it can't be all these turnovers because they're trying to force feed you the football so you can impact the game.
That's the best word for it, though. You can tell they're trying to force feed him the ball.
Well, we talked about it after the Chicago game. Remember that? On the stick route where he slips and it ends up being an interception? Or the tight end reverse against the 49ers where it ends up being a fumble? Like you can run down the list of all of these times that Jason Garrett is trying to get Evan Engram involved in the game plan, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
He's not good.
No, that's not the truth.
He's just not good.
He's not good, Dave, but guess what? Evan Engram is not to blame for the loss last night. I found out when I got to the studio this morning that the Reaper did it again. Alan Hahn.
What did he do?
He didn't put it out there on Twitter, but he did put it in a group chat with the Preemie Pirates. And when the Giants went up 21-10 on that Sterling Shepard touchdown catch,
which was a great
one, Alan Hahn texted the group, ball game.
But why? Why would anyone do this?
I don't know why he would do it, Dave, but I'm just saying that it happened. He said ball game, and clearly we know the result of what happened.
You know what? He wants to be the Reaper. Like, he's looking to live to this moniker. Because why on earth would anyone else, in a game that's 21-10, still within reach, I mean, the odds are the Giants are going to win, but still within reach, Philadelphia getting the ball down by 11. Why would you say ball game?
I don't know.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. But that was an awesome drive by the Giants, though.
Great drive.
15 plays, 97 yards. You start on your own 3-yard line and march the ball down the field, and then you punch it in with a touchdown. Like, that's the drive that we've been waiting to see. So many times they put together these long drives, double-digit play drives in the second half, and it's either a turnover or they get stopped in the red zone, have to settle for a field goal. No, they punched it in this time. So it did feel like the Giants were kind of rounding that corner and they're figuring out how to try to win these games as a young team. But, I mean, just Dave, I really don't know what happened after that. I have no words.
The defense fell apart. And listen, after the first drive, now granted Philadelphia had opportunities. They missed a field goal. They couldn't convert down near the goal line. But the Giants defense after the first drive played pretty well. They did.
The defense played well last night. Dave, I thought the defense played really well last night. I did.
Up until 6 minutes left.
Well, the zone was a little bit sketchy. Let's be honest. I mean, their zone had gaping holes in it.
Gaping holes. Well, they're not that good.
No, they're not that good, but they did the job until later on in that game. But it was, I mean, there were just some bad boneheaded decisions, like bad plays. I mean, Ryan Lewis was in one. I mean, you had what would have been a sack for what? 7-yard loss?
Mm-hmm. That would have been game. I really
would have been game.
If that wasn't holding on him, that would have
been
game.
He's got the illegal contact.
Yep.
And then for some reason, he decides he wants to get caught staring in the backfield. And
why?
He lets Hightower run right by him.
For what
reason? That's the only thing that you can't let happen. John Hightower get behind you.
The only thing. And then
just
you had
everything in front of you.
You know what would piss me off the most as a Giants fan, too, is I got Corey Ballantyne going helmet to helmet on DeSean Jackson, taking a 15-yard penalty.
I thought there was a late hit on that also.
No, it was Harper that Santiago Maia. It was Harper that rolled him up. It was Ballantyne that got the penalty. He lowered his helmet.
I know, but Ballantyne hit him helmet to helmet, and then he went down. And I thought Harper jumped on him as well, which also could have been a penalty. But it's just
Harper had the unnecessary roughness on the punt return too
earlier in the game.
Yeah,
it's just. But this, guys, this is what bad teams do. There's these moments that could go either way. That when you're a bad football team, never goes your way, and that's what happens again with the Giants last night. It's the same song and dance. So you go, really, you're 6 minutes away from us doing this show today and saying, you know what? The Giants are in prime position to compete for this division. To now, it's done. Your season is over. You're probably going to be picking in the top five. I can't state it enough. That's what that final 6 minutes of that football game did to the Giants' season and fortunes this year. It ruined it.
But you know what, though, Dave? I'm going to be honest with you. I think it got to the point where that defense just ran out of gas because they played lights out for 3.5 quarters. They really did, man. I mean, they held the Eagles to 4-13 on third downs. They were good in the red zone up until that last sequence of plays. I mean, Dave, you're talking about the two turnovers that happened in the middle of the game. The Eagles didn't get any points off of them. No points off of the Deion Lewis turnover.
Which was
no points off of the interception. And, in fact, got an interception that next series from the Eagles offense. I mean, the defense, I mean, they played really well. I mean, they were able to – I just feel like with their performance, they should have got a different result. They really should have, because the defense didn't deserve what happened to them last night.
That was the game the Giants should have won. They had it. They had it wrapped away. There's no way they should have lost that game. I mean, they come out after the touchdown. It's 21-16. And the Eagles' two-point conversions last night, I don't know what they're doing on those stupid plays, but the Giants come out.
They were ridiculous.
You know, Gallman rips off a good run, then Gallman rips off another good run, and then you're in a third and manageable. You throw it to Ingram. He's wide open. He drops it. I mean, it's just that's what happens. It's so frustrating. It's so agonizing. It's so annoying. And I said no matter what, I wasn't going to be sleepless last night. I barely slept. I was so angry after that game last night. Furious this morning. That's a terrible loss.
You could not have scripted a worse loss for you.
No, because you had to win. Because you actually played well. Because you saw a lot of moments. You're like, you know what? Maybe we're going to win this game. And then you think, I mean, if the Giants had won, which they should have, and Washington wins this weekend, the Giants are right there tied for first place in this division with two winnable games in the next three, maybe three in the next four. Forget it. It's done. Forget it. This season, last night, killed it. RIP, even before Halloween, yet again, done, goodbye, good night.
Yeah, but you're so, I mean, here's the one thing I will say. Maybe this is just the Jets fan in me coming out because of how bad my team looks. I mean, there were a lot of positives last night.
Yes.
There really were. I mean, there's some glaring negatives. Like, Andrew Thomas doesn't look like he can play.
No, he's bad.
He's really bad. Like, really, really bad. And then on that last time, and again, I mean, does Daniel Jones need to work on his pocket presence? Absolutely. But when you watch that play, Deion Lewis is late to Daniel Jones' right, picking up the blitz. Mm-hmm. And then he gets wiped out because Andrew Thomas' guy beats him around the other edge and wipes him out. I mean, it's a mess. It really is. Like, Andrew Thomas is, right now, he's in one. But, I mean, I thought you put a ton of pressure on Carson Wentz. You really did. The zone, I mean, left a lot to be desired. But, I mean...
But the zone is only going to be as good as the pressure you're able to put on the quarterback.
Exactly right.
And that wasn't consistent enough. Like, you saw it when they did put pressure on him, he ended up getting a turnover in the red zone. Leonard Williams flushes Carson Wentz out. He throws an ill-advised ball. You get an interception in the end zone.
What an awful decision that was.
It's a terrible decision. It's a terrible decision. But, I mean, that's what happens when you put pressure on the quarterback. Unfortunately, the Giants don't have enough guys that can routinely do that in order to make that zone more effective. You know what I'm saying? If a quarterback has times, they're going to find holes in zone coverage. That's just what it is. So, I mean, I understand that they did give up a lot of yards. I mean, the Eagles had 425 yards of total offense. You don't like to see that. But, I mean, when you start to evaluate the performance that the defense had, they played well enough to win. I mean, they really did. It's just the Giants had an opportunity to close out that game, go into four-minute offense. I think they got the ball back with 4 minutes and 34 seconds left. And if they're able to stay on the field on that drive, if they're able to complete that ball to Evan Ingram, you are talking about a different result this morning.
Right. We're all excited today. We're taking calls about how they're involved in the division, and they would have been. But he dropped that ball. You punt it away. You have a personal foul right off the bat. A couple plays later, down the field. Then they get down to the three, and then the guy rips off the helmet. They move back to the 17
Kelce,
first play touchdown.
Yeah. Which actually probably was to their benefit.
Yeah, because they had more space to operate. They did. You're right. I thought the same exact thing in real time, Rico. Like, you can't run that play to Boston Scott inside the five. But you got matched up in one-on-one coverage with Jabril Peppers, and you took advantage of it. That was a great throw by Carson Wentz. That's why you pay him, to make those two throws at the end of the game. That's what you pay him for.
He's like a wild stallion right now. He's got to slow his roll a little bit. Like, he's the definition of reckless right now. I understand trying to make a play, but he's tiptoeing that line and trying to do way too much.
Who are we talking about?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
He makes some bad decisions, man.
He should be better at this stage.
But right now, today, you would probably pick the Eagles to win this division, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I know I would.
Hesitantly and probably.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I won't pick.
I mean, as skittish as Carson Wentz is, they still have the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, and you got to figure they're going to get healthier, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
I mean, Lane Johnson's going to get healthy, you'd think, if they give him a couple weeks off.
Alshon Jeffrey will be back.
And Rieger's going to come back. And, yeah, they're going to get healthier. Probably so.
Yeah.
How about Richard Rodgers just running wide open all over the field, too, by the way?
Any tight end. That's why I said to Sal Pal yesterday, are they going to miss Zach Ertz? He's like, not really. I was like, really?
Not really.
Not really.
I mean, tight end runs roughshod over the Giants.
It's just a disheartening day. Dave, to give you some positive, I do like Joe Judge as your head coach. I do.
I agree with that.
And there was certain, it's little things too, but I made a note in that first half where the defense, I mean, was on the field too much. Like,
yes.
Like time in, it was a third and four, and he actually realizes because he got the presence of mind, because he's actually paying attention to the flow of the game and everything else, he calls a timeout. Mm-hmm. It's third down. This is a big down. Let's try to get off the field. Let's give our D a quick rest. I loved it. I thought that was a great decision by him.
I agree with you. I like him. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to be a Giants fan and not like him. But I think you have to be sick today. Heartbroken over
what happened. Yeah, but this is where you're at, though, Dave. I mean, this is where you're at as a team.
But it didn't have to be.
No, it didn't have to be like that last night.
No, it didn't.
Nobody thinks
the
Giants are going anywhere, but there was no reason to lose that game. I mean, Alan Hahn said it was ball game that you should have won that game.
Oh, he's not a Giants fan.
Time after time after time.
He's not a Giants fan. I mean,
so he wants us to wallow in misery like the Jets fans are right now.
Exactly right. Misery loves company. We love it. Ugh, every second of it.
He did, didn't he? He loves that.
He loves
it. Bad guy.
Loves every second of it. He works for the Knicks. What do you think? He's like a masochist. He signs up for this.
Well, it's right into line with what he's accustomed. All right. Let's take a listen. Here's Joe Judge on what was a huge drop in the fourth quarter.
Oh,
here's
other play. Timeout. Timeout. Other positive, too, was he actually ran the football pretty well.
They did. Yeah. Gallman looked good.
Yeah.
He looked really good.
Gallman looked good.
Only if somebody had suggested that Daniel Jones get more involved in the run game with zone read.
A gaping, gaping hole, too. That was one of those cases where you realize, like, I can't believe I'm going. I can't believe I'm running this fast.
Yeah, yeah. It was too much green grass for Rico. 100%.
Way too much.
Thank God they got a touchdown on that drive. Thank God.
Yeah, Roby Coleman hooked you up there.
That penalty, yeah.
That penalty hooked you up.
Yeah.
That would have been
God
bad news.
They got a touchdown that drive.
Yeah, but you know what's amazing though? It's just those couple plays, right? Like, it's a handful of those plays that make the difference between the conversation we're having now as opposed to, you know, us focusing on, I mean, that drive we mentioned earlier. The fact that they had the fourth down stop and they went 97 yards and ate up all that clock and scored a touchdown, that's what we should be focused on.
How can you focus on a brilliant 97-yard drive when you had an 11-point lead with 6 minutes to go and you vomited it away? How can you focus on a good drive?
Well, I don't think you can at this point.
You can't. You can't.
Because that was it. That was probably the biggest game your team will play the entire season.
100%. And now the season is absolutely done. Done.
Yeah, it's not great.
No, it's awful. So the final nine games are, where are the Giants going to pick in the draft? That's what it is. That's what your season has now become. What is Daniel Jones? You like Joe Judge? Blah, blah, blah. Where do they
pick
in the draft?
You get another nice tackle out of Oregon.
Right, mate. Maybe we'll keep fixing the offensive line year after year after year. It's great. Joe Judge on the drop from number 88, Evan Engram, in quarter number four.
I thought he made a lot of plays to keep us in the game, bring us back when we were down and struggling offense. So Evan had a lot of production for us tonight. We keep on playing with him. He's a guy that we have to keep involved in our offense. We have to keep getting him targets like we did tonight. He's definitely a guy that helped us. You know, we'll look at the tape, and obviously we'll make any corrections possible. But, you know, we've got to all do a better job. Coaching, playing, we've got to make more plays. We have to make sure we keep putting him in the position to be successful.
Coach, I watched it like five times. I've looked at the tape. He's got to catch that
football. What he's got to say, though. It's what he's got to say.
Of course it's what he's got to say. But you got to catch that football, for God's sakes.
No, he has to. Well, I mean, look what Boston Scott did. I mean, he made the same catch for the touchdown.
Yeah, and he's little.
And he's
like 3 feet tall.
But, I mean, Sterling Shepard back was a difference. Sterling Shepard being back made a huge difference.
He played well.
I would like to actually see the Giants, because it feels like when Daniel Jones gets time, which he rarely gets time, you know, that's when he starts to hold on to the ball too long and makes mistakes.
Mm.
But when he's decisive, like, I would rather be, if I was the Giants, because the offensive line has struggled, especially at left tackle, like, just be meticulous, man. Like, do what the Patriots used to do with Tom Brady. Because you got guys like Sterling Shepard can win early. Golden Tate can win early. Like, just matriculate the ball down the field. Boom, boom, boom. And then take shots when you get a chance. Like, they do a lot of these, like, these slow-developing routes. And it's like, okay, you're just waiting for Daniel Jones to get strip-sacked.
But you know why they do a lot of slow-developing routes, Rico? Because they find themselves in a lot of third and longs, man.
Yeah, good point.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they don't win on first and second down routinely. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at their third downs, they were 3 of 10 on third downs. Of the third downs that they missed, it was a 3rd and 13, a 3rd and 7, which resulted in a pick, 3rd and 17, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 7. That's why you got to have slow-developing routes. The ones they did convert, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 2.
Yeah, but we talked about it yesterday, too. I mean, if you're defending the Giants, they have a hard time putting together long drives, because at some point you're going to get a negative play. It's going to be a penalty. It's going to be a sack.
That's
and it's going
right
to stall the drive.
Good enough to overcome a second and 14.
Another thing I liked from Joe Judge yesterday was when he made the decision that it looked like they were going to go for it on fourth, and he waited and he waited and he waited, and he threw out the punt.
Oh, man, they missed that opportunity,
throw
dude.
It out to him.
Corey Ballantyne.
He was trying to. Ballantyne wasn't paying attention.
All he had to do was look back. Riley Dixon picked it up. if Corey Ballantyne would have had a little bit of awareness and just looked back, you're talking about them staying on the field.
It was wide open.
Wide open.
You'd be in the red zone. How is he not aware
perfectly.
That no one is anywhere near
perfectly.
Him?
No one was near him, Dave.
Near him.
Like, he didn't get, like, he didn't get, there was just green grass, man. But those little things. I mean, he's the one that takes that stupid penalty on DeSean Jackson on that last drive.
Yep.
Gives you 15 free yards.
Awful. That's awful. It's really difficult to watch week after week after week, year after year after year. 800-919-3776. Let's get to some of the angry, I imagine, Giants calls this morning. Let's go to Greg in Piscataway. Greg, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, boys.
What's going on, Greg?
As bad as it is to watch my team constantly lose, the Giants don't have that much talent. And they're a scrappy team, man. And I get it, man. Like, it sucks to watch them lose year after year after year. The only excitement that I get out of it is following Rothenberg on Twitter throughout the game.
I was so annoyed last night. Really. Last night was such a special angering for me because I'm almost dead when I watch these games, and I wasn't last night. They were alive. I was into it. It was a fun game. It was an emotional game. But they do what they do, and that's lose the game at the end.
But we have a scrappy team. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like we're winning the Super Bowl. So I would much rather see my team go out there every single day and fight when we know that we're not the
Greg had an 11-point lead with 6 minutes to go.
I'll let you finish. Can I just say one thing quickly? Like,
yeah.
You're not that talented. I mean, you got first round draft picks scattered all over the place on this team.
You're still not that
Rick,
talented.
Let me ask you a question. Who has more talent on their roster? And I want you to be honest. The New York Giants or the Carolina Panthers?
The New York Giants.
Okay, but the Carolina Panthers are 3-3. So you say you don't have enough talent, that's why you're 1-6. I don't know if I agree with that, man.
Yeah,
like,
well,
at some point, this team has to figure out how to win games. I get it. It's a young group, and they're competitive, and they're in most of these ball games. But at some point, you have to avoid the self-inflicted wounds. You have to get away from the turnovers, and you have to execute in those critical situations. And the Giants come up small in all of those spots.
I agree, but I mean, the glass half full is, I feel like we're taking our lumps this year. We're learning how, you know, what not to do in crunch time, and maybe
we've been taking our lumps for the last 3 years, man.
Yeah.
That's all it is lumps.
I get it, man, and trust me, I get it. We
like Rocky Dennis's face.
Oh my God, it's like boils and lumps all over the place, Greg. How you like call today and have the? Well, I mean, you know, we're not that talented. We're competing is beyond me.
But that's the thing, though. You do have, I mean, there is talent.
There's talent on this team.
There's not a ton of talent on this team.
But there is talent. There's enough talent to win that game last night.
Oh, God. Even if you're not talented, you got to win that game last night because you had a.
Look at the amount of, I mean, high draft picks all over the place in this
team. But there's a difference between talent and high draft picks.
Well, I mean, is it they're not talented or you haven't developed the talent the right way?
There you go.
I mean, Bradbury's been a great
He's terrific.
Signing.
I agree.
Blake Martinez
like
has been a great signing. Fackrell's been good. Jabril Peppers was a first-round pick. You got Dexter Lawrence. You got Leonard Williams, who was a sixth overall pick.
Who's playing better, by the way.
You got Dalvin Tomlinson. On the offensive side, you got a fourth overall left tackle.
But stop it. Fourth overall left tackle. You might
Sterling
as well
Shepard was a second-round pick. Evan Ingram was a first-round pick.
Zyler was a first-round pick. Will Hernandez was a high
second
draft pick. Yeah.
High second-round pick.
Your quarterback was a sixth overall pick. I mean,
there's talent. There's talent.
What are we talking about? You have first and second rounders littered all over the field.
No. I mean, you do, but it doesn't mean you should be winning these games. You should have won last night, but they're not good enough to win a lot of these games.
Well, we were making the argument that they had more talent in that matchup than they had in week three against the 49ers, and they got the doors blown off them. Was that a talent issue?
So what is it, a coaching issue then?
No, I'm not going to say
I think it's been a coaching issue.
It's been a coaching issue. There's a little bit of a culture problem that they're trying to get cleaned up. And I think Joe Judge is on his way.
Because
the team is more competitive. The one thing that I get concerned with, though, is that you got to have some tangible results from the messaging that Joe Judge has been giving his team the entire year. You got to start coming up with more wins. You can't keep finding yourself on the losing side of these games. Because Rick and I are talking about this all the time. You worry about the team letting go of the rope. If you don't have any wins, the guys all of a sudden start looking around at each other in the locker room and wonder why we're buying into all the stuff the head coach is talking about if we're not having success.
Yeah, what you're seeing now, Dave, and I get you're frustrated though. I think it's the decisions that have been made leading up to this point.
I agree with that.
I don't think
Ben
McAdoo was a good head coach. I don't think that Pat Shurmur was a good head coach.
I don't think that Reese was a good GM. I don't think they drafted well. I don't think Gettleman's been good. I agree with all those things. My point is that's a game last night that you need to win when you're in the position that you're in. That's all I'm saying.
No, I don't disagree with you. I do not disagree with you. I mean, we're all on board with that. But again, I mean, there are. I understand why you're frustrated, but there. I mean, to go along with all the negatives that we talked to, there are some. I mean, there are some positives.
Yeah, I like the coach.
I think it's a step in the right direction, but I wouldn't sit here and say that they don't have enough talent. There's enough talent on this team.
There's enough talent on this team to what?
To have won more games.
There's enough talent not to be 1-6.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But is there enough talent to be a team that's really competing for anything? Probably not. I mean,
Dave, there's enough talent on this team, maybe I was a little bit aggressive with this, but this team should not be a 1-6 team.
I agree.
You're talking about them, 6-10, 7-9, somewhere around there in building. That's what it should be. And I expect this team to look a lot better in the second half than they looked in the first half. But in order for that to happen, they're going to have to find a way to be better situationally, man. They just have to.
Look, you probably should have won the Dallas game. You should have won the game last night. I mean, if you have those two games, now you're sitting here at, 3-4? First place in this division.
Yep.
And we're celebrating right now.
Yep.
You did way too many
positive things on both sides of the ball last night to lose that game.
Terrible loss.
Daniel Jones is going to drive me crazy, man.
Of course he is.
He's going to drive me crazy.
Because you see the talent, man. Hating him.
You see the talent. It just oozes out of him. But then you also see those mistakes, man. The turnovers. And listen, I'm not saying that they're all his fault, but they just got to stop. They got to stop, Dave. 20 starts, and he's got 34 turnovers?
I thought he played well last night.
He played great last night, Dave, but those turnovers hurt you. Throwing interceptions and fumbling the ball, those things hurt you.
Oh, it's always going to hurt you.
Yeah. Especially when you lose in these games, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like the game ends on a turnover last night, just like the Rams game ended on a turnover from Daniel Jones, staring down his receiver. They got to stop. I'm not blaming him. I'm not saying that it's all on him, but, nonetheless, he's still got to be responsible for it. He's got to be accountable for it because they can't continue to happen.
You're right. They have to be better.
That's what happens, Dave. You reap what you sow, man.
I didn't sow this.
What do you mean?
I didn't sow this.
Of course you sowed this.
How did I sow?
No one trolls. This is in person because Santiago is the best NFC East Twitter troll. In person, face to face, look you square in the eyes and mock you and troll you. There is nobody that does that better than you. In the NFC East. You're that guy.
You love that about me.
I love every second of it, but this is you got to live with the consequences of it. And last night was one of those instances.
Terrible. First and goal from the 17. It would take the Giants 17 plays to get in first and goal from the 17.
Now, don't be so negative. Come on. A lot of positives last night.
Stop it. Really.
The team was competitive.
Really.
Had a lead.
Really stop it. Don't be so negative.
97-6.
You know what their percentage to win the game was? Those ridiculous analytic charts last night when they were up 21-10?
What was it, Dave?
96.7%.
So not 100.
So we only had a 3% chance of losing that game, and we found the 3%.
This is exactly why, unless it says 100, this is why you don't text the group chat ball game.
Well, he's a bad guy.
This is why you don't do it.
I would never do that.
You know how many shoutouts of mine he's responsible of ruining? Because he thought it was funny to let me know that, and I never knew this, that him and Peter Botty would sit up in the press box if I had a shutout going into the third period and just test it. Oh, it looks like Rick's going to get the shutout tonight.
But that's not funny.
It's not funny at all.
No.
I didn't appreciate that.
No, well, it's not
he's
nice.
He's got real powers. His powers.
Why can't he use them for good?
He just can't do it. He refuses to do it.
He just can't do it.
It just doesn't work. I don't care what kind of powers you have. I mean, if you're a Jets fan, a Knicks fan, I mean, what could you do?
Yeah, he's not living a great life with his sports teams.
We got the Islanders, which is nice.
Yeah, he's got the Yankees, too. All right, if you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed delivers quality candidates so you can focus on hiring the person who's a good fit. Claim your $75 credit for your first post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. Let's go back to the calls, 800-919-3776. Joe in Brooklyn, you're next up on 98.7, Joe.
Dave, I give you all the credit in the world for coming to work today. I really do.
I have nothing else to do.
Coming to work? He's in his basement. He works at home.
Well, so do you.
Yeah, but I haven't. I came to work. I walked upstairs when I had my wife just had a baby.
Yeah, but this is harder circumstances.
Stop it, please.
Come on.
Stop.
Thank you, Joe. It's not easy to be here today. I appreciate you taking my side.
I haven't been this upset since the 2016 playoff game in Green Bay. I made the stupid mistake of actually getting excited last night. There was one play in particular, though, when Cameron Fleming and Andrew Thomas both blocking their people, and they both sacked Jones, which was my favorite play just because Andrew Thomas, the rest of the five tackles taken. And why is Cameron Fleming a career backup even playing over Matt Perry? I want to ask you guys also, Dave, seriously, who contributes on this team that Gettleman's drafted besides Will Hernandez, Dexter Lawrence, and Darius Slavin?
Well, I mean, Daniel Jones contributes.
Leonard Williams contributes. Leonard Williams is playing damn good this year.
He is playing well.
Yeah.
He is playing well. Look, they don't have a ton of talent. They have some. They don't have a ton. They need to overhaul this offseason.
Will you stop it? They don't have a ton of talent.
They don't. Oh, stop telling me they have a ton of talent.
They have first-round draft picks all over the place in this
team. So what? So then the Knicks have a ton of talent.
Develop
That's a little
talent.
Bit different when you talk about different. First-round draft picks in basketball versus football, Dave. Stop.
Oh, come on. Frank Ntilikina, a ton of talent. Kevin Knox.
Phil Jackson, talent. Picking
Dave,
and you fired
Dave, stop. You know, stop it now. Stop it, Dave.
Stop telling difference. Me the Giants have a ton of talent.
The Giants have talent, baby. Dave. They have talent. They're not the least talented team in the NFL. They're not.
But there's a difference between a ton of talent and the least talented team.
Than 1-6.
Yeah, they should be at least 3-4.
Yes.
But they're not.
Well, they're not because this is years and years of having – I mean, I'll never forget the day that Canty started doing the show with us full time, and we're having a Giants conversation. And this is when they actually liked him with the Giants, and he was allowed in the building. And he said he walked in the building and it felt different.
Yeah.
I'll never forget he said that. And then it's gone downhill since he said that.
Well, yeah, Rick, they got a culture problem, man. I mean, wasn't it Vince Lombardi that said winning is a habit, but unfortunately so is losing? The Giants have had the most losses of any team through the last 3.5 years. No one has more losses than the Giants. That's going to take some time to pull out of that nosedive. Now, I feel like Joe Judge is on the right track with what he's doing, the discipline that he's trying to instill, the level of compete that these guys have. But they're going to have some wins to show for it. Otherwise, they're going to start tuning him out too. That's the thing that I'm afraid of in the second half if they don't start winning some football games. That's why last night was such an important game. Because it's an opportunity for those guys in that locker room to prove to themselves that this is not the same old Giants from the past 3 years.
And you're entrenched in a battle. You win last night, and at least for the next month, you're entrenched in a divisional battle. As bad as your record says you are.
Yeah, but you got the Eagles again. I mean, you play the Eagles again at home.
Come on. You're
well,
do
no,
this,
but I mean.
The Giants are going to win this division still.
I'm not saying that they're going to win the division, but to Canty's point, I think this Giants team is going to win football games, which is going to help reinforce what Joe Judge is trying to do here.
Yeah, I like Joe Judge.
But you see it throughout the entire NFL, Dave. There are teams that someone, just the casual fan that watches these games, or even if you root for the team, but you're just so emotional that you can't look past the losses and be like, this team stinks. There's no talent. And then all of a sudden they get a good head coach. You're like, well, maybe this team does have some talent because they're well coached.
Rico, they better get those wins before the calendar turns to December.
I don't disagree. I think
they better get those wins before the calendar gets to December.
Well, I think we have Tampa next Monday, which is brutal.
Yeah. Which is brutal, but this is the five weeks.
Three winnable games in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, we said this was the 5 weeks.
Yeah.
We had to do some winning.
But the thing is, if you would have won last night, you would have played meaningful games into
but at
November.
Least with, it, listen, it, it sucks to lose. But at least if you're inside of that locker room, you're upset because you lost, but that could be one of those games where they're having the same conversation that we're having. Like in quiet moments by themselves going, hey, I mean, if Evan Engram catches that ball, we win this game.
Yeah. Win the game.
Yeah, we were that close. We were a play away.
It's true. But you could you could say that about the Bears game. You could say it about the Cowboys game. You could say it about the game last night.
But I feel like outside of the 49ers game, which they got their doors blown off.
Right. You're right.
It feels like you can actually see them getting better. Like you can
yes.
see this team
yes,
getting better.
Yes, you can see it. You can see it.
I don't see Andrew Thomas getting better.
Did you guys think that Leonard Williams was good on the Jets?
No.
He stunk on the Jets, right?
Stunk.
What did Chris Canty just say?
He's playing
Leonard
damn
Williams
good.
Is playing well.
Leonard Williams is playing damn good.
He looks terrific. Yeah. I agree.
So it might take a little bit longer than you want. I mean, you had no OTAs, you had no preseason for, you know, to have a legitimate coaching staff actually rub off on your players. That hurt this team. It did.
I get it. And I'm not saying you're not right about some of the points, but I go back to you had an 11-point lead with 6 minutes to go. So today it's hard to look at it and say, oh, but we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, you're right, Dave, because it's almost like you got to find a way to lose that game. It's like the Giants did everything wrong in order to leave the door cracked open for the Eagles to walk through it.
97%.
Yeah.
97% you let that get away. I mean, come on.
It did feel like the Giants were taking control of that game, man. But I go back to it, man, the four-minute offense. Like, that was – and here's the crazy part about it, Dave. They were actually running the football in that four-minute offense. They looked good. Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman had some hard runs in that four-minute offense. I was like, okay, Giants, the offensive line, getting some movement at the point of attack. You felt like, okay, they're going to go on another one of those clock-killing drives and end the ballgame. And then when you get that 3rd-and-7 – where your quarterback has got to come up with a play. He goes to the guy that should be one of your best playmakers because of his athletic potential. And Evan Engram drops it.
Yeah, how he dropped that is beyond me. DCR brought to you by your local Honda dealers. Contact one for a great deal and do that today. Ryan and Comac. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Ryan?
I'm just disgusted, Dave. I'm just disgusted. So there's a lot to get to. But just real quick, Rick, you just said that, like, you think that this could, like, turn into one of those things that they're talking about, hey, like, oh, we almost won. But wouldn't that just be the same Giants of the last 3 years without getting the results? So, like, if you have good games, and I like Joe Judge, that's not what I'm calling about, but I just think that the results need to happen. So the plays last night that killed me were the illegal contact on 3rd down to Lewis. We were going to get off the field, and then they go right back at him, which is great situational football. You throw it behind him, you get behind him, and then Harper takes 2 back-to-back unnecessary roughness. He gets, like, fake tough guy, bumping the guy's, you know, face mask in the end zone after he gets scored on, and then he's hitting once when he's already on the ground. And it's just, like, it's just so frustrating, guys. I'm just so frustrated. Also, if I could just ask one more thing real quick. Andrew Thomas, is there a way that we avoid, like, the Ereck Flowers nightmare? Can you guys, like, just talk me off a ledge?
They got to give him some help.
I agree.
I mean, at a certain point, you just got to realize he's not getting the job done. I mean, yeah. You're going to have a tight end on that side or a running back on that side to chip somebody or just take advantage of the fact that he stinks. And, I mean, if you want to, you know, set up a screen to that side, do something like that.
Slide the protection over there more.
Do something.
They got to do something. Or, you know what they could do, Rick? Go ahead and put Matt Perrin in there.
That's right. Bench him.
Go ahead and put him in there. The offensive line was better against Washington with Matt Parrott as left tackle. We can't unsee that. It's not like Washington's D-line is not good. So, I mean, I just feel like if you want this to be a true meritocracy, if you want guys to earn their playing time, there's an opportunity for it. And beyond that, I think it makes you a better offensive line if you got Matt Parrott at left tackle over Andrew Thomas. Now, maybe Thomas will figure it out. Maybe he just needs a little more time to get acclimated to the pro game. I know it's a small sample size. It's only 6 games, but, I mean – It's alarming what Andrew Thomas is doing out
He's
there.
Lost
I mean, he
out
was
there.
Responsible for 2 sacks out there last night.
He's completely lost.
And the 2 games that he played in before last night, he was responsible for a total of 3 sacks and 14 pressures.
Yeah,
he keeps giving up the ghost, man. It's not going to help Daniel Jones in terms of him being able to fix his turnover problem.
Well, it's not going to help the kid either, though. It's not going to help Andrew Thomas either. I mean, that's...
Well, give him some time. Sitting him down and giving him some time to just kind of regroup. Yeah, that does help. And then seeing Matt Parrott go out there and have some success, maybe that pushes him a little bit more. It can't just be about Andrew Thomas. It's got to be about the development of the overall team. And if you got somebody that's on the offensive line that's better at the job right now, then I just feel like that's the direction that you should go in.
So Andrew Thomas for last night played all 55 offensive snaps.
Oh, God.
He finished with a 43.8% pass block rate, win rate, and the league average for offensive tackles is somewhere in the 87% range.
Yeah, that's not good.
So he's half of what a normal offensive line would be.
Yeah.
And you want to keep marching him out there?
Do you have other numbers for the Giants last night of their offensive line or no?
No, that's all I got. That was from one Jordan Renan.
43. He was brutal last night.
Yeah,
actually, last night was the worst game he's had.
Derek Barnett put him in the spin cycle, didn't he?
Brutal. Anybody did. Troy Aikman was saying anybody they put there, he can't contain.
Vinnie Curry had one. Daniel Jones is a heck of an athlete because Vinnie Curry, I thought he had him.
I thought that was an
play that he dumped off to Gallman.
Yeah.
That was a huge play in that drive. Huge play in that drive. Because they should have lost seven. They picked up seven.
Yeah. Picked up 7 yards at a second.
See, and then they had another nice play they had too is where they hit like Gallman right in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. Like they let the pressure come at him. Like I don't understand why they don't do that more often. Just like understand, like, okay, I mean, teams are just trying to tee off. Like this is stat night.
Like, almost like a middle screen.
Yeah, let's take advantage of over aggressiveness.
Picked up a first down. Yep.
Yeah.
But he needs help. I mean, he does because he's swimming out there, man.
No, he's
and it's
he's
gonna it, right it will just get worse because his confidence is just gonna be shattered.
He's not good, and it gets no easier. I mean, nothing's easy when you're bad, but I mean, you go Tampa next.
Well, how about Bucks? I mean, the Bucks defense. You saw what they did to Green Bay.
Oh yeah, that Bucks defensive line, man. They're getting after it.
That's no joke.
They're Andrew, getting after it.
Andrew in White Plains, you're next up, Andrew. What's going on, bud? He's very quiet today.
Speechless. Very quiet. Speechless.
Yeah,
I want to give Dave credit for coming to work today.
I deserve to. Why are you giving me a hard time?
You should have to get dressed.
You should be there so as a friend, knowing I'm having a tough day.
If anyone should get credit for coming to work, it's me. We got to do a cover three on the Jets. Well, I got, just because of the mental stress it's going to take for me to break down the Jets versus the Bills after the Bills came off of two brutal losses. What do you think this game is going to? What are we breaking down?
We're breaking it all down later. Oh
no, Adam Gase is doing that for the Jets. He's
breaking it all down. It's going to completely break down. Andrew in White Plains. We'll try again. Maybe he's there now. Andrew, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, fella. Can you guys hear me?
We can now. What's going on, buddy?
What's happening? But Dave, I mean, even though your teammates might be feeling too bad for it, at least most of the listeners do. I mean, there's a lot more of us on this side than in there, so I don't know if that helps at all.
Yeah, I get sympathy from the audience, and that's why I'm a very sympathetic figure. I appreciate that.
It's just crazy football. I was thinking during points of the game last night with Pittsburgh, if they had not, or Daniel Jones had not thrown that pick on the goal line and they were more competitive in the Pittsburgh game, given what Pitt has done since then, I mean, how much better would you feel about the team?
I mean, but yeah, what am I going to be overly excited about? A close loss in week one at this point?
No. I'm not saying at this point, but I'm just saying as far as the momentum of a football season and how, like, every little play matters, I mean, just, you know, what the beginning part of the season would have looked so much better if they had either won or...
Well, won, yes. But I got to remind you, when we came on that Tuesday morning, Andrew, we were very positive. We thought they played very well in that opening game. I mean, we all agree that Daniel Jones gave that play away. It was a terrible interception, but nobody turned on the microphone and had anything negative to say about the Giants. They lost to what is clearly a better team with a sensational defense.
Especially if you watched the Jets earlier that day, it was night and day. I mean, but one other thing, Chris, when you were saying about the culture, mm-hmm. I mean, I get that they've been losing, and you kind of mentioned it after you said it earlier, they have a culture problem, but it does feel like, even though the Giants have been losing, it is a significant difference between, like, let's say, like what the Jets have going on and like what the Giants are doing as far as.
Well, why are you comparing the two?
I mean, why are you trying to compare the Giants to the Jets?
Why are you trying to compare it to the Jets?
Listen, Rick. I started off as a Jets fan. I mean, not to say that I'm a Giants fan.
Oh, you're a fraud.
No.
Hold on. You are.
Hold on. I didn't grow up with a sports team. My dad was a mechanic. I didn't get into sports until I was a teenager.
It doesn't matter who your dad was. Who did you grow up rooting for?
That's what I'm trying to say. I didn't grow up rooting for anybody. I got into sports on my own when I was in school.
G-I-A-N-T-S, Jets.
No, but so I started watching the Jets in like 08, 09 when they got Favre and everything. That's when I started paying attention. So I am at my roots a Jets fan. But, I'm not trying to take shots at the Jets. It's just the reality of the situation, right? I mean, you know, it's a significant difference between the two as far as how the teams are losing and how they look as far as the culture is concerned.
Yeah, Andrew, they're better. Yes. They're more competitive this year. I mean, last year the Giants, 7 of their 12 losses were by double digits. This year, I mean, they've been in every single game except for the 49ers game. So, I mean, I look at it and I say, okay, yeah, this team has been more competitive. The games have been closer. Now you just got to keep plugging away and hope that you get a different result as this team finds itself in more of those situations. There's a learning curve when it comes to trying to figure out how to win football games in this league. And with a relatively young team, you can understand why they would struggle, especially under a brand-new head coach, not having OTAs or minicamp or preseason games. But at some point, they got to find themselves on the winning side of these games.
How are we putting a positive spin on what happened last night?
I'm not putting a positive spin on it, Dave. I'm just talking about the overall direction of the program. I feel like it's going it's pointed in the right direction.
I like the coach. I agree with you.
Yes.
We all like the coach.
Okay.
He's done a good job with this team.
Okay.
But that was a disaster from last night.
Didn't say it wasn't bad last night. I didn't say it wasn't bad. But you can point to a handful of plays and say, you know what? If they go differently, you're probably talking about a different result. And we've had similar conversations pretty much the entire season about the Giants. We haven't had that about the Jets.
No, well, the Jets stink.
Yeah, it's just been a disaster. Team.
Yeah, it's like they're in a different league. All right, yeah. Renan sent me the numbers for all the offensive linemen. So what is that? Okay. That's pass blocking, right?
Zeitler, yeah, that was pass. Yeah, win rate.
Pass blocking, right?
Yep.
Zeitler is at 100%. Gates was 100%. Hernandez was 86.7%. Fleming at 75%. Andrew Thomas 43.8%.
Yeah. That's the weakest link.
I mean, which doesn't belong and why? There's your
You
answer.
Are the weakest link.
Yeah. Goodbye.
But here's the other thing, though, too, Dave, to take into account. And I know it doesn't make you feel better. I mean, when you look at the teams that the Giants have lost to, right? I mean, they've lost some really good football teams. But, I mean, we can't sit here and say that, you know, quarterback is the most important position in all professional sports and not, you know, also realize that, I mean, Carson Wentz, there's a reason why he makes over $100 million. Is to win games like that. And he made the throws when he needed to make throws.
He did.
He made some bonehead plays down the stretch that ended up costing you.
Yep. That's what bad teams do.
It's a bad team moving in the right direction.
It's a bad team moving in the right direction. But this morning, it's hard to put a positive spin on what you saw last night. All right, let's bring him in. See if he's in a good mood today. Wouldn't be easy to be. I would imagine that is Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR.
You can't be stopped, huh?
Where's my guy, Rick? Rick, you there?
I'm right here, my man. I'm right here.
Listen, you got to ease up on Dave today. I have not seen him this deflated since he lost out on the award for thinnest kid at Fat Camp. So let's give him a break.
Wow. Like even Andy.
Shots fired.
I mean, even Andy. I thought I was your guy, Andy.
I was trying to make you feel better. He's taking shots, broadside shots.
No, I don't even care. Bring it on. I don't care.
Football Friday, Dave. Bring it. Let's go real hot. The Jets are going to Buffalo. I'm taking you up to Orchard Park, New York. First question. The Bills have retired three uniform numbers. Name them.
That's got to be Bruce
Thurman Thomas.
Thurman Thomas is one.
Bruce Smith.
And Jim Kelly.
Yeah? Jim Kelly. That's correct. All right, of course, Marv Levy is the winningest coach in franchise history with 112 wins. Can you tell me who's number two on the coaching register?
Second most wins?
As a Buffalo coach. Coached there 15 years.
15 years? Yeah, Dave, this on you. I have no idea.
Is it? I wonder if it's NFL coaches. Could be AFL.
Could be AFL as well. Bills organization.
Ooh. Bills organization. Organization. He pronounces it like a Canadian, too. He's going Canadian, full Canadian on us.
15 years, huh?
Yeah, one of the great NFL films highlight clips of all time, this coach.
Not Chuck Knox.
No.
He was with the Bills for 15 years?
1962 to 1976.
Lou Saban.
Lou Saban is correct.
Nice, David.
All right. Andre Reed, terrific wide receiver, Hall of Famer, but never reached the 100 catch mark. In fact, there's only been one Buffalo Bill wide receiver to do so. Name him.
Eric Moulds.
CeCe, my man, bringing it quick.
Good job.
Hey, where's the ding?
You got the ding. Pay attention, would you?
All right, finally, boys. What Bills linebacker holds the team record for most career solo tackles with over 1,000?
I guess Darrell Talley.
You are guessing correct, my friend. Hey, fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, boys.
All right, Andy. What are you laughing about?
He's so good.
He's terrific. Still not sponsored yet, though.
Still not sponsored. I thought he was going to be nicer to you today. I mean, he lives in your basement.
Yeah, you'd figure.
I thought he was nice. I thought he was going to come in high and tight after what he said yesterday.
What did he say yesterday?
I mean, you make a good point. I just thought, if he wants to eat,
I don't understand. Nice, I mean, I'm having a tough day, and everyone's giving me a hard time. I don't know why.
I think me and Chris are trying to cheer you up.
I don't feel like.
See, this is the problem though. If you had a friend, like if you had a friend as close to you as I am with Michael K, like I could, like we FaceTimed last night.
I can't do this.
And I talked him through it.
It's so uncomfortable. And everyone at the station is now in the point where they are so taken aback by this friendship. Like
it really bothers the guys on the K show though, Dave. Like I mean, you and I call it out, but I mean, it really bothers Don and Peter.
It's because it's strange. I don't know why it bothers them to the extent that it bothers them, but it is strange.
I just accept that it's strange and keep it moving.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's so, his same, thing. Same okay, whatever.
Like, I genuinely, like, almost everyone at the station, what you and Kay have is abnormal.
It's special.
So you genuinely like almost everyone?
Almost everyone.
So who would fall outside of the circle of trust for you?
I don't even know. Maybe I do like everyone, but I'd have to think it through.
Yeah, I wouldn't. We have to be in the studio at some point. I wouldn't name names.
No, I'm not going to name names.
Because there are a couple people you could name that could be bad for you.
Yeah, no. I genuinely like most people at the station.
Okay.
You know what? You know what Deion Sanders calls those people? Those are the love you guys. Those are the people that you make sure every day you tell them that you love them just in case they decide to do something crazy.
It's inhumane.
Yeah, there's one guy in particular. You better make sure you're on the right side of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Out of the bathroom.
At least, all right. At least send me a text.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure he knows that you like him. Go out to Las Vegas and bring in the one and only talented. Those picks have not been great so far this year, and that is, of course, RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ.
Dave, let me ask you a question. I was listening a little earlier. What's the draw? You're in some kind of drama with other people. I mean, does this ever stop?
I'm not in drama.
I was hearing something about, I can't believe you like Mr. Michael K, blah, 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 and it didn't even involve me.
No. Rick has a bizarre...
It's a drama, you're saying. Somehow there's drama.
It's not dramatic, and it's not stemmed from me. Okay. Rick has a bizarre friendship with Michael K. That makes everyone at the station, especially the guys on the K show, very uncomfortable.
But you mean the other guys, but not Mr. Michael K.
Why would Michael's relationship with Rick make Michael uncomfortable?
Well, that's the thing. So who else cares? Whatever they do, they do.
Well, I'm just telling you that people have called him out on air that the whole thing is odd. Chris thinks so. I think so. Peter thinks so. Don thinks so.
It sounds like envy to me.
It's not envy.
All right. I like, to me, in the end, what do you got? You got your relationships. That's it.
RJ, I need you to focus on us trying to win some games this week.
All right. Sounds good.
RJ, do you know what you and Chris are on the season, by the way?
See, Chris, I was trying to get, don't you see, I was trying to distract him.
0-6.
You guys are, I need you focused, RJ, because we got to be better, man. We can't be in the same territory as the New York Jets.
You are the Jets of football, picking the two of you so far this season.
You know what's amazing is I pick on a bunch of different shows a bunch of different ways. I've never been 0-6. You're right. Let's do it, Chris. What's your three big ones?
Okay, here are my three games,
Ooh,
RJ.
Right off the bat.
Here are the three off the bat, because we got to figure this out. I like the Bills laying the 12, visiting the Jets. I like the Pats laying 2 at home against the 49ers. And I like the Bears getting 6 on the road in L.A.
Oh, Lord. I like 2 of these. I don't like fading the Jets because here's the history. As bad as teams are, and I know it's like with every bubble there ever has been, tulips, real estate, there's always a sense of like this time is different, right? History says that, it's a bubble. You guys are overreacting, and everyone
says
there
was a tulip bubble.
Yes, that's a famous. Oh. That's actually a famous story in economics.
It was in a movie, wasn't it?
You know, they did actually make a movie about which touched.
Money never sleeps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. In fact, yeah, the Wall Street follow-up with Gecko had the tulips in a little painting or a little display he had because it was a famous bubble where they were selling tulips for, like, in today's dollars, like one tulip for like $120,000. It was crazy. But everyone said at the time, it's different this time. This is okay. But it's not. You know what isn't the case? The Jets are no worse than some of the worst teams in history. Meaning, I'm not saying they're good. I'm not saying they're not the worst team. I'm saying they're about a historically bad team, but not worse than that. And historically, if you play those teams, you do well against the spread. Because you know why? Because no one wants them. Like, think about, close your eyes and think, I want to play the Jets right now. It's like, oh, no, it feels painful. It feels like, so that's why there's value on the Jets. I got to be honest with you. Jets might be extra bad, even from bad teams. Let me give you an example.
They got Adam Gase.
Well, Now, listen, I've heard more talk recently about you got to wonder, it's like, at what point do the Jets want the number one pick more, right? So I don't know about that, but here's what I know for sure. There's been 451 times in the last 11 years that a team has lost three straight games. So let's use this as an example. If you lose four straight, you've got two separate three-game losing streaks, right? Game one, two, and three, and then game two, three, and four. So every one of these 6-0-6 started off after the third game as a separate losing streak. Okay, so there's been 451. The Jets are the only team to win the turnover battle in those three games and still lose all three. No NFL team in 11 years has won the turnover battle, lost the game, won the turnover battle, lost the game, same thing a third time. The Jets have the last three games. So it's hard to lose in the NFL when you win the turnover battle. They're winning it and still losing the games. So I'm not going to play on them, Chris, but I don't want any piece against them because history says against them is where the value is.
Okay, so which of the three games do you actually like?
I like both of the other two. So let's talk about the Patriots. We did some original research on this, and we looked at every time Belichick faced his a former quarterback of his. And the Patriots actually hold those teams to less than 14 points a game, six less points than expected, and have covered the spread 11 out of the 14, so 11-3 against the spread. I also think, and let me ask you, Tennessee, when they had the lack of practice, the COVID stuff, and again, we can debate, did they practice or not? It felt like after they dominated Buffalo, there was a sense of, oh, this doesn't matter. You know, I think it has to do more with New England has a new quarterback, and if you need practice more with a team like, you know, with Cam and the new quarterback, and that's why New England looks so bad. Tennessee didn't need it. New England did. Now they've had a full week of practice. I kind of like New England. And San Francisco's off an all-in game against the Rams. You know, I kind of like the Patriots. What's your main rationale in that game?
I just don't see Belichick dropping two home games in October back-to-back. Yeah. And they're not as bad as what they showed last year.
And let's not, and RJ, to your point, too, with the no practice, let's not forget, too, I mean, it was Cam Newton that actually had the COVID-19.
Yeah, even if you're asymptomatic, in theory, it can. I mean, that's the thing I don't understand is if you're asymptomatic like Cam, does it drain you? Does it make you tired? I mean,
I'm assuming that it takes more time. I'm assuming it takes some time to recover. He'll be better this week than he was last week.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure about that because I guess Dave, you almost were going to be a doctor, weren't you, at some point?
No.
Yeah, I mean,
I do have a lot of knowledge of the medical field, though.
That's what I'm saying. I've heard you pontificate on things. Asymptomatic means no symptoms, right?
No symptoms.
So I don't know.
Yeah. So is that what you're going with? You're going with the Patriots minus two?
Well, that's one of the two. What's the last game again?
The Bears getting six on the road against the Rams.
I like that, and here's why. It's a joke we said this week on the show. It was like, if the Bears only had lost a couple more games, you'd be higher on them to Fezzik, because once a team is overrated, and the Bears are clearly not as good as a one-loss team, you tend to want to go against them. But it's like, if only they had lost a couple more games, you'd like them more. It's like, that seems goofy. So I'll tell you this. In Belichick, we trust. Let's go with the Pats.
All right, let's do it. Lock it in, Dave
Patriots
Rothenberg.
Minus two. Rick, if you can get in touch with the Jersey book, the Niners.
Yeah, this kills me, though, because I like that game, too. I like the Patriots, too, in that
you
game.
You can't anymore.
Whoa. I'm starting to see some reason Dave's getting on you right there. I mean, consider the fact we got years and years of history that before Canty got his fingers on my picks, it was almost like couldn't lose. Maybe we should kind of look at the exception here and not think it's about, you know, I don't want to blame Chris because I like him, but come on, he is the common denominator.
Yeah, RJ, but I beat you head-to-head the first time we did the contest.
Wow.
What
was our record?
I'm just saying, what are we saying, RJ? I beat you head-to-head doing picks one year, so it can't all be me.
No, I'm not saying that you're a bad picker. I'm saying somehow you're disengaged with the picks this year. Because I say, why do you like the Patriots? And you say, I don't think Belichick could lose two in a row. That wasn't the way you were picking 2 years ago, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but sometimes I felt like I put too much logic in the pick.
All right, fair enough.
All right, so RJ, let me ask you about maybe the game of the week.
David.
What?
No, you go. Fine, you go. It's your show.
I
you
didn't
go,
ask
right?
a question.
You only have them for an hour tomorrow.
All right, go ahead. You know what? Forget it.
No, I don't
I'm in
it.
A way anyway. Go ahead.
I'm done.
No,
I'm done.
Chris, you conduct the interview.
They're fighting over Michael Kay. They're fighting over me. I'll take it.
I'll make my own picks. I don't need
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't want
to. RJ, just to keep the show moving, because Dave's a humongous baby. How do you feel about the Packers laying 3.5 against Houston? I mean, I feel like after getting their teeth kicked in, that this would, a lot of people saying it's a blip. Davante Adams is back. I mean, it feels like this is a game where they can get back to being the Green Bay Packers.
I think there's two takeaways from that Tampa Bay game on the Packers side. Obviously, there's some Tampa takeaways too. On the Packers side, one, more so than most NFL teams, I think Green Bay is susceptible to letdowns. Whereas, you know, as the years have gone by, the whole sandwich spots and flat spots, you don't see it as much. It's just more professionalism. And not that there isn't physically times they're going to be tired, but I just feel like the Packers seem to really have a lot of excuses after losses. Like, you know, we were full of ourselves. And it was like, remember they went to California. I can't remember who they played. And I think it was the Chargers, actually, now I think about it. And they got just beat bad, the Packers. And it's like, whoa, California. It's like, come on. I mean, it's like you're getting paid millions of dollars, some of them per game. And they seem to be flat sometimes, which means all the talk about after Tampa that maybe they were fooling themselves, you would think they do want to redeem that. Like, there's more ups and downs with the Packers than the average team and with Aaron Rodgers. On the other hand, you can see a very physical defense that can get pressure from, some exotic blitzes or creative blitzes. Like, Tampa is a real problem with Aaron Rodgers. It's a problem with most quarterbacks, but historically, Rodgers has been able to avoid the rush, and he's been so mobile, and he wasn't so much in this game. So I don't feel like the Texans have any chance of being that defense. Now the question is Green Bay motivated? And I say yes. And here's the thing about Houston. They're almost the flip side of the Bears. If you actually look at the power ratings, the Bears have one loss. The Houston has one win, but Vegas thinks these teams are about even. Here's the question, though, Chicago or Houston. Here's the question. What's the psychology of Houston only having one win? These aren't computers. This isn't a computer simulation. I believe these bad team or bad records that end up being better teams, sometimes you got to wonder, off a loss like that Tennessee game for Houston, how hard they're going to or how distracted are they? So I would say I like Green Bay. I'm probably not going to make it a major bet or even a bet because I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers guy in general, and I tend not to play the Packers, but I would lean that way this week.
All right, RJ, another game I wanted to get your take on was that Seahawks-Cardinals game and Seattle's laying 3 going on the road in Arizona. And I don't know. It's just something about it. I thought about using this game, and I thought about taking the Cardinals plus the points. How do you see that game playing out?
So is 3 the current number, huh?
Unless it's 3 minus 25.
Okay,
so
okay.
It may go to 3.5, but at the moment it is 3.
All right, so it's right in that kind of in-between land.
A high 3, yes.
Yeah, I actually like the Cardinals a good bit. And the reason being, I think, is Seattle's just way overrated. And it's being obscured a little bit by Russell Wilson. I mean, the reality is what Russell Wilson's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. If not, you could say the best, at least performance-wise this year. And I think that means, well, Seattle's pretty good. Yeah, they are pretty good. They're not the first or second or third best team in the league, like a lot of people think. And let me give you an amazing stat. At the end of the game, in the red zone, they talk about 4-point plays, which is it's 3rd and 3 on the 3, you score a touchdown, you got 7, you throw an incomplete pass, you kick a field goal. That one play is a 4-point play. All right, so historically, or this year specifically, about 62% of scores are touchdowns, 38% field goals. So that's the ratio in those spots. 25 scores for Seattle. 23 touchdowns, 2 field goals. it's something like that is unsustainable, but it's built into the score. So they're doing something. Listen, Russell Wilson probably does score more in the red zone than the average quarterback, but not this much more. And if all you did was take one touchdown away and add one field goal, so minus 4 points in each game, Seattle would only have one or two, based upon what line you use, ATS wins. So they've covered some spreads, but by like a point and a half, by 2 points. So everyone's all excited about how they're winning and winning against the spread, but they're not really winning against the spread by all that much. So that means that they're not as good as they seem, because everyone's so excited about them covering the spreads. In general, I think Arizona impressed me on Monday night. You might think, oh, it was against Dallas. Oh, well, okay, fine. But a lot of people, myself included, thought Dallas would do well in that spot. So I like Arizona.
Okay, Arizona plus the points. Now, you're 2-4 with your selection.
How could that be? I'm like 60% every game. How could I be 2-4 here?
2-4 on our show. You had Dallas on Monday night, which was close. You just missed it in the last couple of moments of the game because they lost by 28.
Hey, Dave, you know what I think? I think you and I should do a $5,000 challenge.
You and I?
Yes.
I would love that.
Oh, I would love do it, but my wife would leave me. So
only if you lost, Dave. Only if you lost.
That's a good point. Aren't you willing to risk your family over your picks?
No.
Okay.
I care for them too much. So you're coming off the heels of a narrow miss in Dallas. Where are you going to go this week?
It's so funny. Chris perks up and goes, I would love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we got to find something that you could care about. If only you were more economically successful, then you could bet.
I mean, how does that make sense?
Because then the 5,000 wouldn't be a big deal. Chris and I bet it. It was like waking up, having lunch. We had to bet the 5. You, it would be like something big. You'd have to get loans. I don't know what would have to happen.
5,000 is a lot of. Listen, I don't have money falling out of my pockets like you do, okay?
That's what I'm saying.
5 grand's a lot of money.
That's why I lamented if you were more successful, this would be more fun.
RJ, how many kids you got?
0.
Thank you.
Well,
all right. If I had no kids, I'd have money falling out of my pockets also.
That's a fair point.
All right. Let's see here. I don't know. Who do you – I'm just – give me – talk for a second, Dave. I'm just looking through these picks. You know something? I'm doubling up with Chris. Chris can't keep losing. We're going to go with the Patriots.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
No, you know what? Something actually – no. Back it up.
Oh, back it up.
All right. I'm going to go with the Bears. You know why? Because there's something unlucky about Chris right now. So the fact we went with the Patriots there, I'm going to go with the other pick. Let's go with the Bears, because I actually do like the Bears too.
Bears plus 6 at the moment.
Yes. In fact, right. Now I look at it. Yes, that's our pick.
All right. That's RJ,
let me ask you one quick one before I let you go.
Anything you need, sir.
Okay. What do you think about the Chargers at home laying 8 against a bad Jacksonville team?
Ooh, I got to tell you something. I started doing new analysis last night. This is going to be the world premiere of it, which is, now tell me what you think of this, Chris, is I'm taking all plays in a game in the first half in which the score was within 14 points. All right, so no blowouts. In the third quarter, all scores within 10 points. Fourth quarter, all scores within 7 points. Getting rid of the garbage time, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and as I looked at it, one shocking stat to me was how good the Chargers are in the first half, because there are teams that do well early. Some teams do well late. Now, I haven't finalized the data yet, but I actually think the Chargers in the first half, this sounds crazy, are like the second or third best team in the NFL. Yards per attempt, the net yards, scoring margin, and they've done really poor. And you think some of their games, they've faded in the second half, a lot of games. So I actually love the idea of Chargers in the first half, because you get it down below a touchdown. You know, you're going to be that 4.5 range, 5 maybe, but it's below the key of 7. And it's not like Jacksonville is any better in the first or second half. So I actually, my gut instinct is I haven't done all the data. I'd like that in the first half. And Jacksonville is just so bad. Here's the thing about Jacksonville. They got the worst D, and they actually had entering last week, the 10th best D in the red zone, which is impossible. So they've actually gotten lucky in the red zone, and they still have the worst D. I want no part of Jacksonville, so I would go Chargers first half.
All right. RJ Bell, I will talk to you for the full hour at 11 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. Thanks as always.
Make sure you have a different attitude, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, I won't be as depressed as I am today. Thanks, RJ. Not an easy day. I mean, I deserve a lot of commendation for just showing up today.
You'd have more money in your pockets if you didn't purposely cut holes in your pockets.
What does that mean?
You know exactly what that means. Sick creep.
Sick creep. I mean, whose mind even goes there?
Yeah, I
mean, really?
I don't know. I think that one says more about you, Rico, than it does
Rick.
Dave.
That, I mean, really?
I tell you, I need help. You don't believe me.
No, I believe you. You need help. Like lying on the couch for days straight kind of help. All right.
We have RJ on. Here's the problem with RJ is because he really, like, he is so demented that he thinks that the people in the Super Contest listen to all his interviews.
Yes.
That he never really gives us, well, I would just go Chargers in the first half. Well, guess what, RJ? That's not how our picks work on the show.
So what you're saying is he really doesn't like my picks, but he's acting like he likes my picks to throw people off the scent.
Exactly. Because then you look at a Super Contest, and it's completely not one of the picks that he mentions on the show or in the Super Contest.
In fact, they go the other way in the Super Contest.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So now I wonder, RJ and I haven't been able to pick a winner. The guy sabotaged me.
Shenanigans. I call shenanigans. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go, and we go to the great Paul Feinbaum, who joins us every Friday in this exact spot at 10:30. Paul, how are you?
I am doing great. I feel good today because I saw someone last night on national television that I think I could run faster than.
Who would that be?
Daniel Jones.
Well, at the end of the run. Wait, no. You've been waiting for that one, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I hated to see it, but something tells me New York is talking about it today.
This actually hasn't been a huge topic on our show because they scored a touchdown at the end of the drive, and I mean, it was an 80-yard play, so not the biggest deal in the world. All right, so let's get to it. A lot to do college football with you. I'm looking at the standings, getting ready for the conversation today. Notre Dame is third. Is there any way, because I'm so used to Notre Dame being, you know, they play a big team, they get hammered. Is Notre Dame really the third best team in college football right now?
Here's the problem. It's impossible to know because without the Big Ten having played yet, I mean, it's a case of diminishing return where after Alabama, Clemson, maybe Georgia, even though they lost to Alabama, there really is no one else has stepped up. There's a lot of pretenders. And Notre Dame, because of the 12-7 win over Louisville, people have gotten pretty nervous on them. I think they're good. They were affected by COVID. They were out for a couple of weeks, and you could tell it's lingering. The one thing about Notre Dame, other than Pittsburgh, they get Clemson at home in 2 weeks, and that's a real opportunity. And I mean, right now, I don't think they can win, but that's why people are holding on to hope. But without having seen them play, Ohio State would be my number three team in the country.
Paul, speaking about Ohio State, I mean, it can't be a coincidence that Nebraska was so outspoken about wanting to play and be damned to what the Big Ten and the commissioner, Kevin Warren, were saying. It can't be coincidence that they open up their first game at Ohio State, is it?
Yeah, they were supposed to play, but yeah, I think there is a little bit of that. While others spoke out, especially Ryan Day, it was just – Scott Frost and Nebraska just did it in an obnoxious way. They also did it in a way that, you ever been in an organization when you're trying to make a decision and the guy who has the least amount of clout, who has no business opening his mouth, just starts spouting out all kinds of nonsense. And that was Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska's lucky to be in the Big Ten. I mean, so are a couple other schools like Maryland and Rutgers. But they talk like they're a charter member, and I think that really rubbed the blue bloods at the table the wrong way.
Paul, same strange story coming out of Southern Cal with a sophomore wide receiver applying for pandemic unemployment assistance and then the federal government getting involved. The kid's suspended now. Can you tell us more about that story and how that's going to get resolved between NCAA compliance and the federal government?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question because I've never heard of that one before. I mean, it's absolutely a conflict. But I will say this: in today's world, there's whatever you thought was the standard, the norm,
may not be anymore, because the NCAA is very sensitive to everything right now for the first time literally in their history. Something tells me they'll figure out an accommodation now. I don't think it's going to be a landmark case, because I think there is going to be an asterisk by everything that happens in 2020.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We discussed it before last weekend, and I was surprised. I imagine you were as well, that not that Alabama won and beat Georgia, but the way they just so decidedly did it, Paul. I mean, that's a good defense, and Alabama's offense was brilliant in that game against Georgia.
Well, Alabama probably, along with Clemson, has the two best offenses in the country. So, it wasn't a big surprise. The surprise really was that Alabama was able to just hammer Georgia shut in the second half. I mean, Alabama has a guy named Mac Jones at quarterback. I mean, he was a serviceable backup to Tua Tagovailoa last year, and no one thought he would really start this year, because Alabama predictably and typically signed the number one quarterback in the country last year from California. So, I mean, but he emerged, and he has a cast around him. He's got two wide receivers, maybe, three or four actually, but two that are going to be first round picks. He's got a first round pick at running back in Najee Harris. So that helps him. And he also has a line that has just come on and has really performed brilliantly. The problem for Georgia, not to get overly technical, and I'm really not being overly technical, is that they have a four-string quarterback, and he doesn't have a lot of moves, and Georgia really got exposed. I mean, you think about Georgia and the quarterbacks that have gotten away from there. Trevor Lawrence considered going there. Georgia didn't have room for him. They had all kinds of five stars at quarterback. Justin Fields didn't have room for them. And meanwhile, Kirby Smart, he stayed way too long with Jake Fromm, with Justin Fields and everyone else. And now, he banked on a grad transfer, Jamie Newman, who bailed out before the season. He didn't like what was happening. And he's got a transfer from Southern Cal who can't get in the lineup.
Now, Paul, let me ask you a question about that game. And it's amazing to me. I just don't understand how it's even possible that Nick Saban just does not lose to former assistants on his staff. Was it being overstated how important Nick Saban was to this Alabama team being on the sideline? Or was that – I mean, that was the case. Like, having him was that big of a lift for his team.
I think it really was. And Georgia lead at halftime. And, Saban, whether halftime adjustments are overrated or not, they do happen. You get a chance to catch your breath for a minute. And there's no question Nick Saban adjusted a few things. And I don't know if they could have done it without him. And, when we were talking here exactly 1 week ago, the story was starting to percolate that maybe Saban would come back. And, here's the kicker to the story, by the way. He ended up, for those who somehow missed it, he tested positive, and he did three straight, which proved the original test to be false positive. Last night on his radio show, he's coughing, wheezing, and he said he had a cold. I mean, so he had no symptoms last week after testing positive. Now, I have no idea whether he's sick or not, but, I mean, it was just the irony of, now Nick Saban is legitimately sick.
Paul, is the Big Ten a two-team race for the conference title in the college football playoff, or is there another team we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, after Ohio State, Penn State is a threat. They play in a week, so we'll find out very quickly. Is Wisconsin legitimate? Is Iowa good? I really don't think Michigan is a contender. So I frankly cannot come up with a legitimate contender. I know Penn State wants to think they are, but they lost one of their best players, Micah Parsons. I mean, I don't think they, with a normal year when you have a sold out stadium at Happy Valley for the whiteout, but this is not a normal year.
One more for you, and then I have to play something for you, which will be unfortunate, but I think I have to because you're a friend of the show. And that is Justin Fields. Is he close to Trevor Lawrence? Like, in your mind, is he going to be that level of NFL quarterback?
Yes, I believe he is. And, he emerged last year. Last year's the first chance we could see him, but I think he just does so many things well. And, he's a different type of quarterback. He's obviously got a little more mobility. But I think he's there. I really do. So what are you going to play for me?
All right. I don't know how to do this to make this nice. It's not nice. We do a segment on the show called Cuddle, Marry, Trash, where we have someone we married, our favorite, someone we cuddle, our second favorite, and someone we trash, we don't really want them around. Chris Canty was asked yesterday about one Paul Feinbaum, one Mike Tenenbaum, and one Sal Palantonio. Here's the answer.
I'm going to marry Sal Pal. I'm going to cuddle Tenenbaum. I'm going to trash Feinbaum just because I don't think Paul actually cares.
Can you give me a few minutes to react to that? I'm
I told you, Dave, he doesn't care.
No.
Feinbaum does not care. He does not care what anybody thinks about him, which is why I love
him. I think he's taken aback. I think he cares so much that what you did yesterday makes him very uncomfortable today. Paul,
well, I mean, he's got an easy way to get me back. All he's got to do is talk about Virginia football.
No, I'm not like that. I'm a class guy. I don't trash my friends. I don't make fun of them on big time radio stations like this one. And Chris, that's fine. I'm just gonna ascribe to. I mean, even though I'm Jewish, it doesn't even matter. I'm gonna quote the Bible. I mean, I'm gonna turn the other cheek.
He's hurt. You could tell he's offended.
You can tell. I mean, you could tell.
You could tell. Hurt. Paul, listen,
way,
Rick and I adore you.
If you guys could give me just a 15 seconds extra.
Of course.
I just want to say what a pleasure it's been to be on this program for the last couple of years. And I am sincerely going to miss it next week when I join WFAN.
Oh, wow.
Now look what you've done, Canty.
Right to the competition.
I feel like I'm a bad guy now. Well, hold up. You're the one that teed all of this up, though, Dave. You're the one that orchestrated this during the break before we went to Paul. So I feel like you were setting this up.
Well, because I consider Paul to be a good friend, and I wanted to let him know what was happening when he wasn't paying attention.
I feel like that was completely unnecessary. You just want to be a bad guy.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you do.
Paul, thank you for joining us. Hopefully you can find
guys,
in your heart.
All the best. We'll still be friends, okay?
Muzzle tov, Paul. Muzzle
yes,
tov. We love
Shabbat shalom, Paul. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That, of course, Paul Feinbaum. Now, today on ESPN Daily, this Sunday's Bucks-Raiders game will be a study in the history of Raiders head coach John Gruden. Get the backstory on the matchup and how the Raiders are adapting to their new home on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. All right, Rick, it's your time to enjoy champion versus champion, UFC 254, when Khabib takes on Gaethje. Coming tomorrow, October 24th, at a special start time of 2 p.m. on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Come on, Dave.
Nurmagomedov.
There you go.
Looks to add another victory to his perfect 28-0. That Nurmagomedov, he's trouble. He's 28-0. He defends his title against interim champ Justin Gaethje, UFC 254. Exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Or sign up now to get UFC 254 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $84.98, visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV for more details. Nurmagomedov. There we go. The first read is always confusing because there's like you gotta lead up to
it. Well, now it's in your head. The problem is it's in your head. As soon as you get in your head like that, then
you think?
Screwed up. You got the yips.
Yeah. Today, I gotta be honest. I think for the circumstances today, I've been pretty good.
Yeah, you battled. I mean, you're a pro. That's what we expect.
Yeah, but
though.
this is not.
Yeah, you're like Evan Engram today.
No, stop it. That's so disrespectful. That really is. That's
you're going out there and doing your best, but coming up a little bit short.
But I think I've been good.
Okay.
I think I've been good. All right, let's get to the Jets before we make our picks of the week. We do this every week, guys. They're 0-6. Obviously, it's a tough run, but it's a 12.5, 13-point spread, depending where you look. Chris, can the Jets keep this game close? And if so, what do they do to keep this game close?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. It sounds like you're going to have Sam Darnold and Denzel Mims, so that's definitely going to help your offense. And then going up against the Buffalo Bills pass defense, I think that there will be opportunities to get some chunk plays in the passing game because their pass defense is 20th in sacks and their 30th in pressure percentage. So we know that the Jets' pass protection has been shaky all year long, but this Buffalo Bills defensive line hasn't been getting after opposing quarterbacks. So there'll be opportunities. It's just a matter of being able to take advantage of them. And whatever you do, you have to be able to win the turnover battle. Josh Allen has been a different quarterback in the month of October than he was in the first four games. First four games, a quarterback rating of over 100. The last two games, it's been below 80, and he's accounted for three turnovers. So I think that that's where you have to find your margins in terms of being able to make plays and win this football game. You're going to have to take advantage of takeaways, and then your offense is going to have to come up with some big plays in the passing game because you've shown that you can't sustain drives.
Yeah, this is the healthiest as far as skill positions are concerned. The Jets will be the entire season. Now, Sam coming back from the shoulder injury, I think that's priority number one, is protect him and find a way to get him into a rhythm early. I mean, that Dolphins game was 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. They have to find a way to be more competitive in the first half. They've been outscored 114-29 in the first half of these football games. That's got to stop going up against a really good Buffalo team.
All right, and of course, you can catch that game Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. Are you ready for our picks? You ready to dip our toe into the water of NFL selections right now?
Let's dive right in. Forget dipping.
All right,
dive
right in. The standings are not beautiful, but it's competitive. Chris Canty, 6-12. I am 7-11. Rick, you are 8-9-1. Being that you are 8-9-1, you can go first, second, or third. Where would you like to go?
I would like to go. I'd like to dabble in third, David.
You'd like to dabble in third? All right, Chris, would you like to go first or you don't care?
I'll go first because I'll just run down my picks again. We went through them with RJ, but I'll give them to the people at home again.
Okay.
I took the Bears plus the 6 points on the road against the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Patriots and laying the 2 points at home against the 49ers. And, of course, I'm taking the Buffalo Bills and laying the 12 points against the New York Jets.
All right, so Chris has no confidence in the New York Jets. I'll go next. Game of the week that I wasn't allowed to ask RJ because apparently I talked too much on the show.
He's going Steelers. I know it. Take the Steelers.
Love the Steelers. I think the Steelers are better. I'm getting a point with a team that I think is better. Tennessee's defense is underwhelming. I'll take Pittsburgh plus the point against Tennessee and what could be the matchup of the week. Something about Seattle doesn't sit right with me. I don't love them. Arizona played well on Monday night. That's a good football team. I'm getting 3.5 points. I'll take Arizona plus the points. And here's a sneaky little pick. I'm not sold on Detroit at all. They beat Jacksonville. Big deal. Atlanta looked better last week. Atlanta went into Minnesota and hammered them. I get Atlanta. Lay the 2.5 against Detroit. Another win for the Falcons. Those are my picks.
That's a sneaky good pick, Dave Roth.
You like that pick?
Sneaky
Thank
good
you.
Pick,
I appreciate
yes.
that. All right, Atlanta minus
Which
2.5.
Which means you will lose that pick because every time Canty feels good about Atlanta, yeah, they true. Always bite him. What'd you say Arizona was minus 3, Dave?
Arizona is plus 3.5.
Plus 3.5, okay. All right, here we go. I am going to take, for my first pick, I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers. I like
You're
going to
give
pick.
Us the spread on pick. That game.
You have the spread. I sent you the spread, didn't you?
Well, I understand, but typically when you give the games, you say what the spread is of the game.
I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to lay the 3.5, okay?
Okay, there you go.
Green Bay minus 3.5. I hate the fact that I like the same picks as Kenny. I like both the picks that he took, too. I'm going to take the Patriots and lay the 2.
Nice.
I know. Which is good for you.
Believe, Rico. Believe.
Love it.
I want to take... I'm going to take... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change it because I was going to take the Bills, too.
But oh, my God.
I can't do it. I'm going to take the Chargers. I'll take the Chargers and lay the 8.
Chargers minus 8 against the Jaguars. All favorites, just like last week where it was not a good week.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.